Morning, everyone. If it's okay, I want to invite my family up on stage as well. There's no scary announcement or anything like that. We just, as a family, wanted to thank our church for a wonderful opportunity this past summer to be on our renewal sabbatical leave. We were able to, and I'll be sharing in the message, reconnect with our family, extended family. We were able to make memories that will last a lifetime. And so on behalf of my family, we wanted to thank you for giving us this time away to come back renewed and refreshed, and we look forward to reconnecting. So thank you so much, Trinity Covenant Church. Okay, thank you. Have the kids grown a little bit? Yeah. Jonathan keeps getting taller. Scary. It is indeed so good to be back here at Trinity. And I just once again wanted to thank our governance board, our key leaders, all of you who serve in different ministry capacities, and to our many wonderful Sunday speakers that did an incredible bang-up job. Thank you so much. Thank you. And we also have a new pastor on board, Pastor Theo Wilson, right? And I think I heard that's going pretty well, and I think we got a good one. So we're very encouraged. I know he's away moving his daughter Parker into college, and he'll be back tomorrow. So we keep ships passing in the night. We keep on missing each other. But it is indeed really great to be back. And I'm a little bit rusty. I haven't preached in a while. And so if it's okay today, I wanted to just share a little bit about some things that God spoke to me during my sabbatical. And so there's going to be a few stories, some pictures, if that's okay. Please don't judge me. I really do preach the Word of God, and we'll make sure to hit that starting next Sunday. But I did want to open up with a passage that really stuck in my mind as I was on this sabbatical summer leave. John chapter 5, just two verses. John chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. And I've titled this brief message, Always Working. Always Working. This stood out to me in particular as my family has been watching the Chosen series on Amazon Prime, as kind of our evening ritual during the latter part of our sabbatical leave. And some of you are fans of it, some of you have your criticisms of it, but overall I think it does an amazing job of bringing the life of Jesus in video format to life in a way that I've not seen done before in movies and in television productions. And the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda was so moving, and this is what stuck out to me, and I'll share a little bit of our summer based on this. Starting verse 16, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." If you remember in John chapter 5, this was an astounding, shocking miracle of a man who had been a paralytic for his whole life, and Jesus had just healed him. And he did it on the Sabbath. And in the Jewish leaders' minds, As you can remember this passage, for those of us that are familiar with John chapter 5, they were infuriated because you are not supposed to do work on what? The Sabbath. In their minds, everything shuts down. No work, it's the Holy Sabbath. And yet Jesus doesn't go by these kinds of rules when it breaks the spirit of what God had intended. And in his defense, Jesus, in providing an explanation of why he did work on a day where you're not supposed to work, my Father is always at his work. He's always working, and I too am working. Whether you are on the clock or not, God is always at work. And this passage really spoke to me because, as you remember from the picture, pre-sabbatical, I was a beaten-up man. 5.5 years into serving Trinity as lead pastor, it's no easy task. We have been through a pandemic together. We've been through all sorts of questions and dynamics regarding race and politics and vaccinations and masking. Do you guys remember that not too long ago? We had a lot of crazy staff dynamics and changes, and I was a pretty weary man after, I think, what did I share? I just had gotten over strep throat, and it was the wee hours of Sunday morning. I'm still trying to finish a sermon, and I was dying. Well, now that I've had a summer sabbatical, here we go, post-sabbatical, through my friend Jim here from Trinity, who took us fishing in the Long Island Sound, and that was a massive bluefish that we ended up cooking and eating, and it was delicious. Do I look like a different man after the renewal? And so I'm so grateful. I'm a little bit nervous. Well, I haven't preached in a while, so I feel like a rookie all over again. But I wanted to share just a few things of how God spoke to me during my summer sabbatical. And I share this in the context of John chapter 5, in that after having gotten beaten up and weary and fatigued and crawling to the sabbatical, I said, God, I don't want to think about ministry. I don't want to think about anything that will cause me stress. I just want to take a vacation. You know what? Even maybe from my spiritual life, I just want a break. I just want to get some rest. Please, Lord, let me get off the clock. Let me disappear for a while. And yes, I didn't have my weekly responsibilities of preaching and leading and shepherding and navigating through the complexities of leading a church. But God said, though you're off the clock, Peter, I am not. And though you think it's your Sabbath, and indeed it was a sabbatical, a Sabbath rest, where you're not supposed to be engaged in active ministry and you shut that off, I don't ever shut off, my son. And I am continually at work as the sun is as well. And I realized that this past summer, one of the first things we did was we flew up to California and we drove up. Some of you are familiar with the West Coast, a famous highway called the Pacific Coast Highway, and we hit parts of that. We had a great time, so we spent a week driving from LA to San Francisco. It was great. And then instead of going home, I decided at the time, maybe wasn't the brightest idea, that I'm going to stay for all my denominational responsibilities and stay in LA while my family goes to Disneyland without me. No, I actually accompanied them. It was great. But I serve on a board, and this board deals with the very tough stuff that pastors go through. We meet and work with pastors in crisis. And there's been a lot of crises this past couple of years. But through that time that I was away, during that time where I kind of regretted when I sat through 3 to 4 days of meeting straight, I'm on sabbatical. Why did I decide to do this? God said, I want to show you something, my son. And the first thing I wanted to share was that he spoke to me, reminding me that you have a really big family, Peter. Much bigger than your nuclear family. Much bigger than your Trinity family. You have brothers and sisters in Christ that love me, that are scattered all over North America and across the globe. And it was through that experience, that's not my phone, is it? Okay. You have a really big family. Often I think pastors become so myopic in terms of they can't see beyond not only their own nuclear family, but often really struggle with seeing anything beyond their local church. Their whole world becomes their church, and their church becomes their whole world. And the problem with that is that you will go crazy after a while and pull out your hair because it is very stressful. And there are so many challenges. And this week, spending in multiple meetings, going to our annual meeting, and staying to see Pastor Theo get ordained from our covenant family brought so much life and encouragement that Trinity Covenant Church is not the only church in the world, that there are thousands and millions of billions of believers all across this globe. And that encouraged me so much that I and we are not alone. In fact, if it was not for the greater church family called the Covenant we belong to, we would have never found Pastor Theo, because it was through the ordination interviews, the final exam interviews with Theo, that he sat in the same room as me as we on the board did our final exams and questions and interviews. And it was only because he remembered me talking about youth ministry in that little room that he answered my email and said, I think I will respond to this guy's email. And I said, are you still looking for a new ministry? And the rest now is history. We need to be reminded, I needed to be reminded, that though the local church is critically important, that we are not alone, that we have family all over this nation and all over the world. And because of that, God gave me a bigger vision and understanding of what is happening across our nation, especially in our covenant family and in all different parts of the world. We are never, ever alone. And so I was so grateful that God reminded me of that through this sabbatical. We have a very big family in Jesus Christ. Amen. Second thing I wanted to share was God said, don't ever stop preaching the word. As we're wrapping up our time in California, this was the actual church that we visited, because though it would have been very easy to have slept in, none of you would have known that I skipped out on church, but I realized I need to get my butt out of bed, out of this hotel room, wake up my family, and get to church. And so California is full of mega churches, and we visited this one. And yes, worship was great. I was a little bit disappointed that it was not a live preacher. It was a video, since they're a multi-site church, very large, thousands and thousands of people church. Speaker was a young pastor sharing different stories, and I was kind of like, I'm not thrilled watching a video of a speaker. I wanted live preaching. He was talking about all different kinds of stories, and I was like, "Ah, oh, we should have picked a different church. Although there are tons of people, we should have picked a different church." And after about 10 minutes of introduction, he began to open up John chapter 10 about how we indeed are just as stupid as sheep. And he offended me, but I woke up. I said, "Yes, that's me." And he began to expound on John chapter 10 about Jesus being our true shepherd and how we're sheep, or we're always getting lost. And as he began to dive into the word, my heart started to race. As pastor, I don't have too many opportunities to be in a church service where I'm not preaching. And so to be in your shoes, listening to a message, stories are great, gifted communicator is great, but it was when the word was opened up and he began to dive into John chapter 10 that my heart was grabbed and I met Jesus, not for the first time, but I met him again. I met Jesus at that service and it deeply spoke to me. God reminded me, as you return back to Trinity, whatever you do, make sure you preach the word. Because that is where the power is, and that's how people will indeed meet and encounter the living, pursuing God of the universe. And so that was a great experience. I thought I would be impressed by the size, the facilities, the thousands of people, but it was when the pastor opened up his Bible and in John chapter 10 began to talk about what was written there, it spoke to me, it moved me, and God reminded me, as you return back, though it's very tempting to talk about a lot of different things, don't ever forget your main calling, which is to preach the word of God. And so that was a great reminder as someone sitting in the pews, the chairs, this summer, and this is what I am excited to do as I return back here to Trinity. A third thing that God really spoke to me as I shut off my time clock, but God was still at work, love them youth. Love them youth. I did another kind of unconventional thing during sabbatical, in addition to spending a week in meetings and denominational work and counseling pastors through crises and all this crazy stuff. And I'm so glad I did that. God reminded me we have a big family we're a part of, and I was so encouraged and saw the bigger picture of what God is doing across the world, our nation, especially the covenant family. Preach the word. We have not sent a youth mission team out since before COVID. And as we together thought, should we send out a team or not? It's been a couple of years. I'm on sabbatical. Will the team be okay? And then there was incidences of violence at the Mexican-American border, U.S. border, and my own son and daughter were also part of this team, and I thought, this is, to go and lead a mission trip during sabbatical, this is not normal. But even though it was sabbatical, I felt, you know what, I think it will be good to go, because if anything happens to those kids, we're in big trouble, and the buck stops with me, so I better go. And so I gave up 1 week of sabbatical and went with the team down to Saltillo, Mexico. And it was one of the best mission trips of my life. More than the cross-cultural ministry aspects of ministering in a different culture, different language, and all that, was phenomenal. And we will be preparing to present something more formally with the mission team. Ironically, it wasn't so much the mission stuff that grabbed my heart, but God renewed my heart for our youth. Because when you're with them 24/7, and trust me, we were together all the time, suffering together without AC. I don't know, Jonathan and I got, I don't know why we got bit by so many mosquitoes at night. It was boiling hot in our room. I'm like, what am I doing here on sabbatical? And yet as I began to see our students engage in ministry, these crazy youth, jumping right in. Some of them able to speak Spanish, others not as much, but without regard for themselves, just plunging in, serving the needs of those who really are struggling in life, going to a juvenile center for drug-addicted youth, many former gang members. I don't know if I should be sharing this or not. Parents are like, you send my kids where? And it was one of the most powerful ministry experiences I've had in many, many years, to see our young people plunge in. And I said, be careful as you're laying hands to pray and all that. They're just praying for everyone as they're ministering, doing drama, feeding Caesar's Pizza, Little Caesar's Pizza, spaghetti. And then a dance party broke out that I should have joined, but I did not. It was amazing. And more than even the heart for missions, I was so moved and blessed by our youth who are willing to do anything and everything to see God work among the community in Saltillo, Mexico. I had an absolute blast. This was after our ministry in the barrio in a slum area, and we wanted to stop by the little grocery store, and I wanted to be a little cheap because I wanted to kind of stretch our team money and just get maybe 2 liters, a couple of them. But everyone has different tastes. I'm like, you know what? Let's splurge and let everyone pick their own drink, whatever they want. And they indeed splurged, as you could see. And we had an amazing time. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to switch places with Theo. I'm not ready to go back to youth ministry. But I want to stay engaged, because the youth have a kind of spirit that as we get older, we lose. They don't have fears. They want to try everything. They put themselves out there. They connect with other youth and people in a way that it gets harder and harder as we get older. And it really spoke to me that as a church, we need to indeed love them, youth. We need them. We need our children, we need our young people, because they keep us alive and remind us that we need to live boldly for Jesus. And so it really rekindled my heart for how important it is to have a heart, yes, a vision, yes, but to spend time, real time, with our young people, with our children. Because not only do they need our aged wisdom of life that we can, yes, bestow upon them, but we need their vibrancy, their zeal, their boldness to keep us young in our lives as we get older. Amen to that? Anyone could see how important that is? All right. I'm almost done here. I'm almost done. Thank you for being so patient. This next point gets a little more personal, so let me be vulnerable here and say, don't miss your dance. Don't miss your dance. What am I talking about? About a decade ago or so, our family took a vacation out to Quebec City before we moved out here to New England. And anyone been to Quebec City? Inside there, the old city with the walls. I mean, if you feel like you're in Europe, it was amazing. And toward the end of that time we were there, Kathy, myself, and I think her dad, who had accompanied us on this trip, had went back from a hotel to the old city. It was after a light rainstorm. And in this courtyard area of beautiful aged cobblestones, there was live music playing, and there was a lovely couple slow dancing in the moonlight in the midst of the rain. Ooh, that sounds nice, doesn't it? And in my gut, I heard, dance with your wife, Kathy. It was a perfect situation in the old city of Quebec. And guess what I did? I chickened out. Exactly. I chickened out. And to this day, I regretted not grabbing my bride and dancing on the cobblestones of the old city of Quebec with live music. This other couple finished dancing. The music was still going. I wanted to dance with my wife, but I was too nervous and insecure and wanted to, I'm gonna dance, whatever. But inside I'm like, oh, I would love to dance with my wife in the rain. Well, here we are a decade later. Our family had a reunion on a cruise ship. And we went every night to a live music venue where they would play all different kinds of music. And when a similar song came on from the band, and there was my wife sitting there, we're all grooving to the beat. It was fun. And then the slow music came on. I had that same feeling. Don't miss your dance. Don't miss your dance. And so the song played. And guess what? I chickened out again. I said, I missed my chance again because of my pride and whatever. But then when the band picked up and played one final slow song, I grabbed my wife, and there we are. I didn't miss the dance this time. Pastor, preacher, word, what are you talking about dancing and all that? I'm sharing this because, as you all know, life is so short. And 10 years from when we were in Quebec City to now was flash in a pan. It was, boom, it's gone. And I did not want to wait another 10 years to dance with my wife. And God spoke to me that when you have opportunities to show your loved ones you care, do it. Grab those opportunities because you never know when you'll get them back. And when God is at work, and God moves your heart, whether it's to dance with your wife or husband, whether it's to say I love you to someone you care about, whether it's to give a hug to your child or grandchild, whether it's to write a letter of someone you've been estranged with for years, don't miss out on the opportunities that God gives to us to show love to those that we care about. And so, there we are. I didn't miss the dance this time. So grab those opportunities as God gives them to you. Finally, as we have been on the road for an entire summer from the West Coast, we did a stopover even in Chicago. We spent time on a cruise. We had just a wonderful time this past summer. For any of us that have traveled, it's exciting to go to a hotel or sleep at a different place, but just like Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. No place like home. And as we return back to Trinity, it was a reminder that church, though not a perfect place, we have our challenges and problems and warts and all. Church is a place that is your spiritual home. And so as our family returns back, even my children, though they didn't look like it maybe up here, they were glad to be back because it gets tiring visiting churches. It gets tiring watching online. It gets tiring sleeping in different places, and yes, wonderful to meet different kinds of people, but the local church is really a place that we call home. And I pray that as I have returned back, as I'm asking everyone to give me a little bit of time to ease back into ministry, I really believe that as we meet a God who is continually pursuing us, even for us, it's the Sabbath and no work is supposed to be done. He is always at work. And these are some of the ways in which he was working in my own heart this past summer to remind me that as he is at work in my life, showing me that we are not alone as a church community. We belong to a wonderful family of churches. The kingdom of God is far bigger than our nuclear family. It is far bigger than our local church. It is a global, timeless movement of God from believers from the beginning of time till today and future believers. We are part of a really big, amazing family called the global church. What a privilege. And as we return back and we meet a God who continually is pursuing us, as I wanted to be off the clock and just shut off everything, God reminded me, no, you don't get off that easy. I'm going to keep pursuing you, Peter, because I love you even when you're on sabbatical, and I want to speak to you about a couple things. Don't forget to continually preach the word of God when you return back to that pulpit at Trinity Covenant Church. And as we do that, love them youth, Peter. Teach your church to not only want to see them walk through the doors of our church, but to get real time together with those youth and with our children, because they will change us. They will challenge us. The older we get, the more accustomed we get to our habits. We don't want to go out on a limb. We don't want to live dangerously. But all those who have chosen to follow Jesus are his disciples. We follow him, and he will lead us often into times where we don't know what is around the corner. And we trust him, and we follow passionately after him. And as we live our lives and as a local church, please don't be like me. Don't miss your dance. Don't miss your dance. The local church indeed is a place where we can truly find our spiritual home. And many of you over the years have experienced it here at Trinity. Some of you are newer, some of you have been away for a while, you're coming back. We're so excited and encouraged. We pray that that is what you'll experience as we together are reminded of God's heart to pursue us. And his passion for you and I, his passion for people. I look forward to connecting personally with many of you. I'm always available to meet up. And I really do, as you let me know, set up times where we can meet over coffee, over dinner, whenever. Come meet me at church. I enjoy and love getting FaceTime with our members. And just like probably many of you, as we get older, I just last week turned the ripe age of 54, and so I had a birthday this past sabbatical summer. Is that old? No? Okay. 54 feels old, but anyways. My memory is not as strong as it used to be, and so especially if you are a little newer, maybe your names may have faded a little bit. Forgive me. And if I say, I'm sorry, please remind me of your name again. Please don't get upset, hurt, or annoyed by that. It's because I care. If I didn't care to ask for your name again, it means I don't really care to get to know you, but I want to. And so if I ask that, because my memory is not the best, please remind me of your name again. That means I care for you. I want to know your name. I want to get to know you. Because that is the kind of heart that God has for me, for you, as we together pursue God and his passion for people. There are so many other things I would love to share on this first Sunday return, but thank you for indulging me and allowing me to share a little bit more of a testimonial as I return back from the summer. I hope that it was in some ways encouraging and helpful and challenging. And as we get back and head towards the fall, I really do believe that in so many ways, God has allowed us together to hit the reset button, post-COVID, post-transitions, and all these things. I look forward to working with Pastor Theo, as well as all of other staff, with Sue Bazina and everyone else in our office, and so many of you, as we in so many ways begin an exciting new season to pursue God and His passion for people. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be back on the pulpit here at Trinity after this summer's sabbatical for myself and my family. I want to thank you for the ways in which you have been working so powerfully while I've been away this summer in our beautiful congregation. And Lord, I pray that as we get ready to wrap up the summer shortly and head into the fall, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would so reveal to us that you are a God that has and always is working in our lives and in our loved ones, even sometimes when we can't see it. I want to thank you so much, Lord, for the ways in which you have spoken to me this past summer, even on sabbatical. Thank you so much for being a God that pursues us, even when we often aren't pursuing you too well. And I pray that as we look forward to this fall, we pray that whether it be children, youth, families, adults, we pray that people, when they come and experience Trinity, that they will experience a family, a home, a place to belong. And so we give you thanks for this time, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity once again to return back. And I pray, Lord, through this rejuvenated heart and spirit that you have given to me and my family, may you use us until our next sabbatical in powerful ways to see you working in the lives of those you are pursuing. We do thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, everyone.